Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and, I guess, get started. And this is kind of going to be just a little addition to last week. We're going to try to get to verse 3 because that's a lesson all by itself. So we're going to read 1, 2, and 3, Romans 1, 2, and 3, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll open in prayer and get started. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our time that we have to study as we continue in Romans. We pray, as always, for more enlightenment and understanding as we read your word. And we thank you in advance for the edification that comes as we read and believe it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, like I said, we're just going to review a few things until we get down to verse 3. Last week, we saw the importance of Paul beseeching us. We saw Paul beseeching us about the importance to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. In chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, and that takes us back to really back to chapter 1, up to chapter 12, all the things that God has provided for us in spite of us. And these are what Paul calls the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, by brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the beseeching is on the behalf of Christ. We looked at that in 2 Corinthians, that Paul says, I beseech you in Christ's stead. Can you imagine that God, after all he's done for us, with nothing in return up to this point, that he beseeches us to present our bodies to him, the bodies that he purchased with his own blood? And in Ephesians, Paul says that he beseeches us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Our salvation and our positive response to the gospel was a calling. It was a calling. And guess what that calling was to? Service. That's one of those Christian cuss words, service. You know, service, works, ed, obey, all those cuss words we don't like to hear.
Right.
And I'll add one, love. You know, we have to do that too. Oh, wow. But he says, I beseech you. The beseeching is always an appeal to the higher authority. Like, I beseech you, King. I beseech you, God. Always, especially in the Psalms. But here's Paul. He's saying, I beseech you, therefore. But it's based on what the higher authority has done. It's the mercy that he has showed us, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Talking about the beseeching, look over to, I think this is in Acts, when Paul was speaking before Agrippa, in Acts 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Oh, and this is where I was telling you about the appeal to the higher authority, where Paul says, I'm happy. I think myself happy today that I would be able to explain my case before you. And this is the king allowing him the opportunity to explain himself. Now, back to Romans 12, the Lord, after all his mercies, he's allowing us now the opportunity to present ourselves, because he could have given us punishment. The opposite of mercy is judgment. The opposite of mercy is unmerciful. If God was unmerciful to us, what do you think we wouldn't be having this class today?
No.
So look at Exodus 33. This one, when Moses was speaking to God right before, we'll just read this. Look at 32 first. Exodus 32, 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now, go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said unto me, 33:16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, I picked that verse because God was saying, I will be gracious to whom I will, and I will be merciful to whom I will. Well, who is he merciful and gracious to today? Is he selective? Is he still selective? Or is this mercy and grace, is it extended to all?
It's offered to all, yes.
It's offered to all. In Numbers, he says this, the same thing, the Lord, he says, I beseech thee now, let the power of my Lord be great according to that thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. I pardon, Numbers 14:19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. According to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. How do you contrast and compare this? Those who sinned under Moses' law die without mercy under two or three witnesses. And you can see coming up to the law, how God extended his long suffering and mercy to some. And under the law, they were supposed to die without mercy, those who transgressed. And the first thing you should think about, I won't say the first thing you should think about, but who comes to mind when you think about those who sin under the law die without mercy? Who are at least two people you think about?
Ananias and Sapphira.
No, they die without mercy. Can you think of two people who did not die?
A whole bunch.
Well, definitely two major characters who did not die.
David?
Yes, say that.
David?
David and Bathsheba, right. Now, you can see, I'm just saying that even with the Lord and his justice and his judgment he still was long-suffering, and he still was merciful, but it was selective. It was according to his discretion. But here, back to Romans 12, now he's having mercy, as Paul said, upon all. And mercy is always extended to the offending party, that they don't get the judgment that they deserve. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the not the mercy of God, but the mercies of God. We have offended God in a multiplicity of ways. You know, we have offended his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. We have offended him on all levels. In Romans 3:10, when he said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all together going out of the way. That's all. When he says all, that's definitely all. And we have completely failed him. But Paul is extending it now by the mercies of God that we should, after you consider these things, after the mercies of God are considered, that we present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That doesn't take much thought, does it? It shouldn't take much thought to realize this offer. You talk about, and I'm going to give a play of words here. You talk about a Godfather offer. You know, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Well, this is a God the Father offer. He has made us an offer that we can't refuse. We're able now to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him. If we have not done that, that means we haven't really thought these things through thoroughly. We haven't really considered the options. That's what it means. It's our reasonable service. Those are things that we look at 2 Corinthians. Those are things that we should think of as no-brainers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5, 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And the henceforth is, that's the same thing as the presentation date. Your presentation date is henceforth. We looked at that last week. That is situation by situation. Today you may want to do that. And tomorrow you may not want to do that. Present your body. This week, everything may be great. Next week, not so great. It could be hour by hour. And that's how we take these things, is situation by situation. Even though your ultimate presentation may have been done, but it's a submittal that also comes with installments, if you will. You still have to submit yourself moment by moment. Paul calls it yielding to the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. And to do that, there has to be a renewing of information or a uploading of information. Your mind has to be filled with that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that you may be able to prove those things. Chapter 1 again, that we present our bodies, or verse 1, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, holy and acceptable. And looking at that word, you know, the holy word, you automatically, you know that means it's something special, don't you? Well, just think about this, the Holy Bible. You have the Holy Bible. It's different from your other books, or the Holy Spirit, the holy angels, all the holy temple, all these things where they have connotations to them, and you know that means special. You know the word, that another word that means holy? Say it again.
She said sanctified.
Saints. Saints, sanctified. And look over to Corinthians. And I picked Corinthians because they're more like us, or should I say we're more like them. Even with all the holy labels floating around, in 1 Corinthians, he says this, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brothers, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified. There's your sanctified in that. In Christ Jesus, called to be holy. That's the other word. It's just like saying called to be holy. Can you imagine the Paul writing to the Corinthians and says, you guys are God's holy people. And he goes on to say, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. And all this is going to come up when we talk about the gifts coming up next week. But look over to chapter 6, and he says this about the Corinthians. But this is true for all saints. This is true for all his holy people. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the
temple
of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, notice that. What do you notice about that spirit? Verse 20.
It's not capitalized.
It's not capitalized. What does that mean?
It means it's our little human spirit.
That means that you have some choice if you want to present your body, if you want God to be glorified in your body, if you recognize that you've been purchased. That's still, back to Romans 12, that's still some logic that you have to run around in your mind. Even though he bought us, you still have to recognize the fact that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And even when you come to that conclusion, you still have to make that presentation. You still have to say, here I am, Lord, send me or use me. In Hebrews, where the Lord said, a body hast thou prepared me. Well, when he bought us, he prepared a body, but we still have to present that body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, our reasonable worship. Now, that word should trigger something, Blake. When you say that worship, you should automatically think, what do you think when you see that worship? He wants
her image.
That's what he wants. And that goes back to, and we'll mix these two verses in Romans 8, where he talks about that whom he called, them he also, well, let's go back there and look. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Same thing in verse 2 of chapter 12, but this conformed is different. In verse 2, he says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if that's the conformed that he wants, is being transformed by the renewing of your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and being conformed to the image of his son, they mean the same thing. The way that you're transformed into the image of his son is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if your mind is not being renewed, then guess what kind of conforming is happening?
Worldly.
The worldly conforming. See, our minds are not stagnant. You are being educated and edified one way or another. It's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. And what you learn is going to be displayed in our activity, in our speech. And be not conformed to this world, which is a It's an effect from the outside in. You know, where we get our word conformed is we get the same word schematic, where we're shaped like something. We have the appearance of something, the form of something. And in this case, it's a bad thing. It's being conformed to this world, shaped like this world. Transformed is different. And we are being conformed. What we take in on a daily basis, or what I say secularly, we are being conformed whether we are aware of it or not. Remember, we were talking about the frog example. This was a couple of weeks ago, where in this case, we have been turned, the heat has been turned up gradually. And before you know it, we've given up a lot of things politically. But in this case, this is a spiritual abdication where we're being conformed to this world. And before you look up, you've given up a lot of things spiritually. You say, how am I doing that? I'm just going to ask you a question rhetorically. What did you watch last night? What did you listen to last night?
A program about murder and deception and things like that.
Garbage.
Now, do you think, I'll say like the pastor used to say, garbage in?
Garbage out.
Garbage out. Now, we watched it. I'm saying this because I'm guilty too. We watched the movie last night, and I actually dreamt about this monster that we saw on TV last night. Now, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying this is, it's involuntary. You cannot take things in. You cannot process in this computer. And you know what they say about the information in the cloud, right? It doesn't go anywhere. So this information that we take in on a daily basis, it doesn't go anywhere. It's in there. And it'll come up just like a weed. When you don't think it's going to pop up, it pops up. And I'm asleep, and I got a dream. Here's this monster coming out of the water to get me. Now, that was just maybe 5 hours. But I have things that pop up. And I remember Perry saying this last week. There's things that he heard from 25, 35 years ago that pop up. What about you? Do you have some of those conforming thoughts that pop up today that you maybe it took shape 50 years ago?
Yep.
40 years ago? 40 days ago?
Yeah.
What do you do with those things? Verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 2 says that we are to be renewed in our mind. And we have to facilitate this transforming process. So the conforming is to be shaped like something on the outside. We don't want to look like the world. You know, I was thinking about this. This was, I don't know if I was talking about, this is, and you guys may not know this. This was a, what's this guy's name? I can't think of his name, but this man he married a celebrity, Megan Good. He married an actress. And well, you know, when you're an actor or what you specialize in is being conformed, being like something that you say you're not. So when he married her, and he was a spiritual man, I guess, you know, I think that's an oxymoron too, a spiritual celebrity. That's kind of an oxymoron. But anyway, they married, and it turns out that kind of lifestyle, church lifestyle, it didn't work out for her.
Devon Franklin.
Devin Franklin.
Yes. Thank you. Now, who's surprised about that? That in Hollywood, if you marry a Hollywood person, that things may not work out between a person that's supposed to be transforming their mind, and a person that has spent their whole life being conformed. Probably not going to work, is it?
Nope.
Same way with us is if you're involved in activities or even with people who are stuck in a conforming state, then what's going to happen is you're going to be conformed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You say, well, not me. I know. I've heard this before. I know what I'm doing. I know how much I could take. I've even said that. I know how much is too much. How much conforming is too much? And the answer is always, just like everything else, just a little bit more. So you always feel like I could watch this and it won't bother me. Or I could listen to this and it won't bother me. It doesn't happen like that. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that transform is from the inside out. When I ask you, Ed, that little S?
Yes.
That's the little S. That is what, that's that, I'm going to say it this way. That is the, your edificational embryo. And so he needs to be nourished. And he needs to be fed, and he needs to be, as he grows up, as he's being renewed and growing day by day, that's what the process has to be, is that growing up process. It has to take place, and that takes place by the renewing of your mind. And Paul says something like this in Galatians. He says this about the Galatians. In chapter 6, I believe it's chapter 6, their problem was they weren't utilizing the grace that was available to them. By them not utilizing the grace and the liberty, it was still a form of being conformed. It was still a, in some sense, them being conformed to the world because they had been put under bondage, under a performance. And Paul says in verse in chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know what people don't want to be told is how they're living is not becoming. You know how I know people don't like that? Because I don't like that.
No one likes to be judged.
Nobody likes to be judged. Keep that in mind. Nobody likes to be examined. Nobody likes to be scrutinized.
Especially since nobody measures up.
Especially because nobody measures up. Now, you know what Paul says? That we should be in all things. We'll get to that. Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. You know what Paul said? It's good to be transformed. It's always good to be in a transformation process. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's the transformation right there. Paul wants Christ to be formed, not just the Galatians. That they're dead and gone now. You're the Galatian today. We're the Galatians. Paul wants Christ to be formed in us. He wants the little children to grow up into men. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. There you go, Blake. You don't like people looking at you? You don't like people judging you? Ed, you don't like to be scrutinized? Then we should do what?
examine ourselves.
Scrutinize yourself. Examine yourselves whether you be in the transformation process. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know ye not your own selves? You know, nobody knows you other than God. Nobody knows you better than you. You know what you think when you're all by yourself in the thoughts of your mind. And I notice I say in the thoughts of your mind, because you could be with people and still nobody knows what you're thinking. Nobody knows what you're feeling other than you and the Lord. But examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now that's a saving grace there, Annette. It looks bad. If you look at me, it looks bad. If you look at yourself closely, it looks bad. But that's not how Christ gets in us by our behavior. That's not how we get in Christ by our behavior. It's by grace and his mercy. And that is a transaction that cannot be reversed. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now, I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now, that should be our favorite verse. Once we believe, thank God that if we deny him, he will deny us for his rewards. But he does not deny himself. We are still believers. We're still saved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this we wish, even your what? Perfection. Now, Paul wants the Corinthians. Remember how we looked at that first chapter of the Corinthians? That he wants these holy ones, these sanctified ones, and that's all of us, although they were carnal. He says, what I want is your perfection. So what happens between you being saved and called and to perfection? What happens between that, between the calling and the perfection?
Yeah, transformation.
Transformation. That's right. Verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. That's what he wants. That edification facilitates the transformation. Same thing. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the transformation in other passages, it's called, well, let's take a look at it. Matthew 17. Once we're saved and once we have the Spirit indwelling us, Paul calls it in Romans 8, the first fruits of the Spirit, which by us having the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance, it's the assurance that there's a process that has started in us, a glorification process that has started in us, and it's going to come to an end. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That's the same word as transformed, in Greek, that is. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. They saw a visible transformation in the Lord, which Peter says it was a verification of the glory that was going to come. It was a confirmation of the glory that the Lord promised that they would see. Mark chapter 9, same instance about Jesus in the mount, but Mark has a little more on it. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto him Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with him. But here's a little more on it. Mark says that his raiment was shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. That's pretty bright, isn't it?
Pretty bright.
All right. Now, let's go to Luke. Luke puts even more on it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Came to pass about 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. So here's another description. Luke says that the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. That means he had a physical appearance. It was different. Now, think about this. The same thing that Paul says in Romans 12, that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that transformation on the inside is just the beginning of a process that's going to affect our whole bodies. Think about that. What you're reading today and from henceforth, what you're reading is going to affect your, not just your mind, but your whole body. Romans 8, he says this in verse 22 or 23. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. With that redemption, there's a transformation that takes place with the redemption, with the adoption. When you finally become who God called you to be, there's going to be some changes that take place that if we saw each other, when we see each other, you're going to say, wow, you never look so good. It'll be shocked. Paul said that the sufferings of this present time in Romans 8 are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, but what?
In us. All right now.
Sharon. Think about this. Now, I'm saying that because she just chimed in. Is these old bodies, we all dealing with the old bodies, but Sharon, and if I can say this, you dealing with two old bodies.
Yeah.
And this is good news for us.
Yes.
That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared
to the glory,
to the transformation that'll take place in us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what helps us, back to Romans 8, is keeping this in mind.
Amen.
See, this is this is fundamental in the transformation, your renewing of the mind. Paul says this, that we're waiting for the redemption of our body. We're waiting for the transformation of our body.
Yes, Lord.
If you don't know this, we're going to have some problems.
Mm-hmm.
For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen, it's not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, the Spirit, now there's the capital S there, or as one of the guys in the class said, the big S, Spirit. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Thank you, God.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is your mind.
No.
Yeah.
Knoweth what is the mind of the what?
Spirit.
God knows. You know, the Spirit and God are on the same page. Now, who's not on the same page is us who haven't been caught up to the transformation process. We have to learn how to say not what I want, but what he wants.
Amen.
We have to learn that by transformation. But he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for those who the transformation process is not up to speed. You say, what? He maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, if your mind hasn't been transformed and renewed, then you don't know what the will of God is in whatever situation it is. It's, if it's the will of God in your suffering, if it's the will of God in your service, if it's the will of God in your studies, if it's whatever the situation is in your family, in economics, in politics, if you don't know what the will of God is, then our minds have not been transformed, that we can't prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
So we need some intervention. And the Holy Spirit, that's what he does, is he takes what we're doing, what we're wanting, and he says, no, 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 no. He doesn't really mean that. And then there's a process that, and I'm saying this, there's a process that goes along that the Lord has to get that information to us to transform our mind that we can think like he thinks. And that transformation, you know how that transformation comes? It comes from you hearing another saint,
mm-hmm.
from you reading a verse,
mm-hmm.
from you hearing something. You know, in Galatians, he said this. I'm going to read this in Galatians chapter 6. Now, this is what's good about having spiritual people. People who are pressing toward the transformation. In Galatians 6, he says, brethren, 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who have been transformed, ye who are at a higher transformed state, that's spiritual. He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's the same thing he's saying in Romans 12 when we get up to that verse, that not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. We'll come back to that one. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, this is a passage where Paul is appealing to the Galatians. If you see the brother or sister having a struggle, whatever it is, you who are spiritual, you are to remind them of the transformation process. Like, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we're called to be. This is who we're, this is who we are. And we need a, what we say last week, we need a heat check. We need to remind ourselves, this is who we are. See, a transformation takes place. It doesn't make you something that you are not. It's the word where we get the metamorphosis from. It transforms you into the thing that you naturally are.
Yes, Lord.
You know, we're sons of God.
Yes, we are.
And we're being transformed into the image of his son. And I'll borrow this from James or John. John said, I think it's James or John. He says, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
But we know.
But we know that when we see him, we will be like him.
Yes, Lord.
For we will see him as he is. And Philippians said that our vile bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That is to come. We will be fitted for the job and the place where we are ultimately to be. And right now, the Lord is telling us, think like this. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear not only with him, but like him in glory. And our minds have to be in tune with these things, and they have to be transformed to remind us of these things, to record these things in our hearts, that we won't forget them, that we won't let them slip. And nothing like today, this conforming process is heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
Because everywhere you look, every station you turn, the conforming is on a very high dosage. And if you're not careful, you will, the new man, Colossians chapter 3, you look up and you won't recognize the new man. You will look up and say, who are you? Colossians 3, start at verse 5. We quoted a little bit of that about appearing with him in glory. Verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You know, he's saying there, you used to be conformed to the world, but not anymore. It would be nice if we could agree with Paul, right? When we could say that we used to walk in those things. We used to, right?
We can agree with the used to part.
We used to, right? Hopefully we can't say that I'm still walking in them.
Yeah.
Now I didn't say stumble in them. It's one thing to have an episode, a relapse. But if you're walking in them, this is like Paul said in Corinthians, that is commonly reported. You don't want that to be. Verse 7, into which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who created the new man? Who created the new man?
God.
So who's doing the renewing process?
God.
And how he does that is through his word.
Mm-hmm.
No other way that happens is through his word. This is why it's so important for us to be familiar with the doctrine. The renewing of our mind takes place through the word, the transforming of the mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are proving because it's a testing. I've tried this and it works. I've been there and I've done that. And that's where, thank God for growth, not just chronological growth, but spiritual growth, is you can look back and you can learn from the transformation that has taken place that, I don't think I'm going to do that again. I've been there and didn't like the outcome. Some lessons are a lot harder. You know, they say bought lessons are the best lessons. But it'd be nice that if we can learn some things from other people that we wouldn't have to go through. Take our word for somebody who has been transformed, that you can see the growth, and they can tell you, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't try that. I wouldn't go there. But he says that this is our, in thinking of this, we are proving that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're proving that we are making the right choice to walk with the Lord. In John chapter 6, when Jesus asked Peter a question after the people who saw Jesus do the miracles, and when there was no more bread left, they left Jesus. And Jesus turned to Peter and he says, well, will you go also? You know what Peter said?
Where am I going?
Where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. Peter said this. This is John 6:63. It mm-hmm. is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. A believer can be saved, and he can still doubt that the words are life. You might say, we need to do it this way. Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I think I can do it this way. They still think that the conforming way is a better way. John 6:65, and he said, 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord. What did you say, Sharon?
Where am I going?
Where am I going? To whom shall we go?
Yeah.
Who else has the answer?
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
We believe. Yes, and sir. Now, I believe, and there's some things, like I said, from your experience, you can say, I believe, and I'm sure that this is right.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm making, to be transformed, I'm making the right decision. And you have to remember that it's a instance by instance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're always on presentation mode.
Yes.
And when you're not in presentation mode, you know what Paul says? Look at Philippians. And we'll wrap this part up here. In Philippians, Paul said that if verse 16, Philippians 3:16, 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be in the transformation mode, that's perfect, being thus minded, that's the transformation mode. And if in anything your being conformed, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nobody really has to tell you when you're carnal, do they?
No.
You know who tells you that? The Holy Spirit. You're grieving him. He'll tell you, even with our limited knowledge, he'll say, hey, Johnny, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like what you're doing. I don't like where you're going. I don't like how you said that. Sure. And you have to say, I agree, or you have to say, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds bad, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You tell the Holy Spirit, so what? You say, they wouldn't do that. Really? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. And then we'll go back and end this up. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You mean a believer, a holy, sanctified, called person, body, bought person of God can grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Willingly?
Yeah.
You know, this is not something that's accidental.
Mm-hmm.
Or as my friend would say, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 21. He says this in the same book, Ephesians 4:20. But you have not so learned Christ. There's the transformation process. If so be that ye have heard him and have been transformed by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, if you don't do that, then verse 30 is what's happening. You're grieving the Holy Spirit because you're being conformed and not transformed.
Mm.
Okay. Romans 12, and then we'll stop at verse 3. All this is important because what Paul is doing is preparing us, as he said in Romans 8, he's preparing us to be led of the Spirit, that we can prove what's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that we could learn how to say, not my will, but thy will. Mm-hmm. And to do that is to be informed with what his will is. He says, okay, first I need you to be willing. And you say, okay, I'm willing. Now I need you to be ready. How you get ready is the transformation process. And then that the willingness and the readiness makes the ableness. Because that's when the Holy Spirit is calling the shots, not you, not me. And we're going to find out what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is calling shots next time. So we'll stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray as we meditate on these things that our hearts and minds might be transformed and renewed, that we might be able to prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.